This is Trevor Hall with Mining Stock Daily back here on the Investors Exchange floor at the PDAC Conference 2019. I'm fortunate to be sitting in the booth of one of the show's sponsors. That's Minera Alamos. They are traded on the TSX Venture with the symbol MAI. And with me, who happens to probably frequent this show, one of my most frequent guests is Doug Ramshaw. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Trevor. It's nice to actually do one of these in person.
Yeah, instead of calling in. You know, how's the show going for you? I know you got this booth. There's been some announcements with the closing of your financing. I've talked to a number of different people about the company and the closing, and I guess the question is, how did Minera close this financing without any warrants when it seems to be the one of the most difficult challenges in the industry right now?
Yeah, in all honesty, it's only done because we had the support of existing institutional shareholders. They've been happy with the progress that we've been making over the last 6 to 9 months. As a consequence of that, it was time for them to up their stake in the company. And if you have those lead orders that understand the importance of share structure and not having warrant overhangs, everyone else fell in line. But, you know, it was a lot of support from key existing shareholders.
So it was $5 million Canadian, correct?
Yes, $5 million straight share at 10 cents. And whilst I never really wanted to finance at 10 cents, we've spoken before about one of the biggest impediments to the company in terms of capital structure is it's not the number of shares out as a hopefully future producer with market cap story. So that's less of an issue. But in the short term, we had a whole pile of legacy warrants in the company, 82 million, that all expired between April and July of this year. So what I didn't want to do was a financing that all it did was replace a bunch of those warrants with new ones. So with this financing achieved, we can be warrant-free to all intents and purposes July onwards. And that's really where I think the company as a whole is going to be moving towards production. And it's a ceiling on the stock that I will be happy to lift.
So what's the immediate deployment of some of that capital? Where is it going to head to?
Well, we announced a couple of weeks ago what drill plans for this year at Santana, which is roughly 10,000 meters, 50 to 70 holes. Some of that will start pretty soon, but it's a program for the year as a whole. We also want to make sure that as Santana, our first operation gets built, that we've initiated site prep work at Fortuna so that our construction teams can switch seamlessly over to the second operation. So there'll be that site work going on at Fortuna as well. And the big thing for us now is just awaiting the permit that we've spoken about at Santana. And we hope that that's more of a week-to-week basis now than month-to-month. So once we've got that, then we can show a message to the market as to how Santana will be funded, the modest capex with royalty money, and we can really start this transition from developer to producer in earnest.
You kind of have this legacy of being management that has always had the shareholders' interests at heart, and I think you proved that with the financing without any warrants and foregoing any dilution. You know, what are some of your thoughts? You know, what's some of the advice that you could give some of these other junior companies and developers that kind of follow a similar trait?
I'm still learning from other companies as well. Their successes, the failures in this industry. I'm not sure. I want to say this is how it should be done to a sector that, you know, we're just a small part of. But I think from our perspective, it really comes down to the fact that, you know, we actually want to build something here. And I think genuinely this will be the proudest point in my career, that we're building something which I think is really needed in the industry. It's a real sustainable business model. And I'm really just, you know, excited and very proud to be associated with the team that are actually going to be the mine builders. I get to actually just tell everyone about their hard work.
Well, it's always great to see you. Thanks again for all your hard work and supporting Mining Stock Daily, and can't wait for what's down the road with Minera Alamos. So thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it.
Because I'm here on the Investor Exchange floor with CEO Duncan Middlemiss with Wesdom Gold. Wesdom is traded on the TSX with the symbol WDO. Duncan, how are you this morning?
Excellent, Trevor. Thanks for having me on.
You've been a pretty bright spot within the markets this year. What has gotten you to this point? I think for people who are maybe new to the industry, maybe don't realize that you've been in the... This company has been alive for almost 30 years, right?
Yeah. I got involved in this company about 2.5 years ago. And really, there was a fundamental change, I would say, probably a year prior to me joining. And really what it was the board of directors sort of renewed a strategy of really exploring what they had. Historically, the company had been fairly underexplored. Great geological assets, however, just not enough money spent on drilling. And, you know, you can only make informed decisions with information, right? So this is what it's about. So, you know, we got a nice story in that we are already a producer, a small producer. You know, the run rate was typically about 50,000 ounces a year. And, you know, we've been able to get that up to, you know, this past year, 2018, we did 72,000 ounces. We, you know, guided the 2019 production to be 72,000 to 80,000 ounces. And so how we're marketing our company right now is becoming Canada's next mid-tier gold miner. And, you know, we've got an asset, the producing asset on the North Shore of Lake Superior, right in the heart of Ontario, right by Wawa, Ontario. We've got another sort of brownfields advanced exploration mine in Val-d'Or, Quebec. There's no production coming from that currently, but it was a great past producer, and there's really high-grade, resources starting to emerge from there now. So really, for us to sort of fulfill our strategy, we'd like to get the Wawa operations up to at least 100,000 ounces, creating great margin, and get a restart decision over at the Val-d'Or mine, the Kiena mine, and that would contribute at least another 100,000. So at that point, we've distinguished ourselves from this sort of, you know, junior producer on the way up to mid-tier. Currently, the Wawa operations funds all of our exploration and development plans for the company, so it's awesome. We're organically funded, so I think the market really likes that. The other thing I think they really like is the fact that we've really been executing on the plan in the last 3 years. So we built up some, I would say, some credibility in terms of that. So really excited about how things are going here, and it's the gold price has been supportive. I remember, it's good to have gold over 1,700 Canadian. Jurisdictionally, we're in a great jurisdiction. Ontario and Quebec, those are one and two, right? I mean, it's good.
So you and I were just chatting a little bit off camera about how you did your estimates on a conservative number based at about a 1,500 gold price, yeah. Canadian. We're seeing a huge dip lately, last couple trading days in gold.
Yeah.
How stabilized are you based on those estimates?
Yeah, so really, we look today and gold is 1710 an ounce Canadian, so really it hasn't fluctuated much. Gold's come off because the U.S. dollar has, got it stronger, so which helps the currency hedge for us. And that's the nice thing about being a Canadian producer. I mean, we pay in Canadian dollars, so we are certainly, it's just like Australia too. I mean, you see those two currencies kind of as a natural hedge to sort of a decline in gold price, stronger U.S. dollar. Yeah.
So the Kiena project and the exploration, it's been some great numbers, some great assays have been coming out over the last few months, but this morning you actually released news on the Eagle River.
Yeah.
Give us a quick rundown of what that news was and why it's important for your shareholders.
Yeah, so Eagle River, the exploration program has really been centered around stretching out these parallel structures within the mine diorite. And we've always known about their presence, but again, not enough drilling has gone into them. And now we're getting onto some mineralization. Really, the net of this is I think we're going to be able to increase our resources and our reserves and our mine production. So, right now, like I said, we've had a nice sort of steady increase in terms of production. I would think within the next year or two, we'll be able to get up to full capacity of the mill. The mill does about 800 tons per day. Currently, the underground mine supplying about, 500 tons a day at about 12 grams. So it's a high-grade play. There's no doubt about that. So we'd get to about 105,000 ounces based on that scenario.
Duncan, thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of your PDAC.
Great. Thanks very much, Trevor.
Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with material presented herein.